Welcome to the Action Hour. My name is Jesse Simpson, and I believe there's never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive. I'm on a mission to bring you the insights, ideas, and inspiration you need to uncover your greatness and take action on your dreams. If you want to start a business, write a book, take a big trip, or level up to a higher state of living in the world, mentally, physically, spiritually, or financially, the stories found in this show will provide the action steps and energy you need to succeed. No matter what you are going through or where you've been, you can at any time break that cycle and transform your life. This show is going to show you how to do it. If you've got the itch to act, now is the time. Allow the inspiring stories within this show to serve as your guide. This is the Action Hour. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Jeremy Herriter, thank you so much for coming on to the Action Hour. Man, you've lived quite the life. You were a former professional athlete. You've played in the CrossFit Games, and now you're taking on Optimal Self. Would you step in here and tell me a bit more about you, introduce yourself to the audience, and tell us what Optimal Self means?
Yeah, man. Thank you. First of all, Jeff, thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it. I love what you're doing. The Action Hour is right up my alley. So the fact that we could connect and share this with the people is awesome. So I'm just a kid from a small town, about an hour and a half outside of LA, born to my mom was 15 when she got pregnant, 16 when I was born. So a child having a child. So, are those early years were rough. My birth father was only around for the beginning. And that's just because my grandfather and grandmother were very religious, and they were like, no, you have to be married. And so they, but he, he's an alcoholic, drug addict still to this day. So grew up, my mom got us out of that at a very young age, and we never went back. He was very, abusive mentally and physically. And so that strong, amazing lady that she is, man, she got us out of there. But if you ask her, she'll tell you from the day I came out of the womb, man, I was swinging bats and throwing balls. And, from the time she can remember, when people ask me what I was going to do, I was going to be a professional baseball player. And so, I mean, there's something about conviction in your life. There's something about being just so headstrong in something that even if you're not the best, and I was not the best. I didn't make all-star teams. I wasn't the kid that, I didn't grow until after high school, two inches, and gained like 25 pounds after high school, where my strength started to come in. I was one of those late bloomers. So you can imagine when you're 6, 7, 8 years old, when you tell them you're going to be a professional baseball player, they think it's cute. When you become 15, 16, 17 years old and you say that, they're like rolling their eyes going, all right, kid, it's time to get, it's time to get a plan B, and there are plenty of people that didn't believe I would make it. There's plenty of people that told me I wasn't going to make it, and I just always tell people I just wasn't one of them. I didn't care what they said. It didn't hit me that way. Right. I'll tell you a quick little story, 'cause it kind of gives context to where we're doing. I think the people that are fans of your podcast might understand this, is that when I was 13, it was probably the best year of those younger ages that I had. And our team won the championship. Our coach was my best friend's dad. So like, I'd been on vacations with them. Like, I grew up around him. He's still one of my best friends to this day. And in those days, the championship team, that coach got to coach the all-star team. Right. And so I thought, oh man, we won the championship. We're all celebrating. We're all happy. I knew he was going to be the coach. I'm like, how do you not pick your own kid? He's like a second dad to me. You know what I mean? Like, and so I thought, oh, there's no way I don't make it. Right. And my name didn't get called at that closing ceremonies for the all-star team. And I'm going to be honest, like, I was devastated. There's no question. And, after that, you go to this pizza party kind of thing where all the families get together and the kids go play video games, and the parents drink beers and we all eat pizza and you celebrate. Right. And I walked up to him in that moment. He was standing over by this corridor, and Jesse, I can tell you right now, I can tell you what he was wearing. I can tell you what I was wearing. I can tell you what thing smelled like. To this day, it's still vivid in my mind, right? I see it clear as day. I was a 13-year-old boy. I'm 50 years old today. So that'll just give you an idea of how vivid and how paradigm shifting this was. And I walked up to him and I asked him, how come I didn't make All-Stars? How come he didn't pick me? And he looked me dead in the face and he said, because you weren't good enough. And I know what everyone thinks. And when you hear it, man, and I'm not going to lie, it crushed my soul. It hit me hard, right? Like, oh my God, I'm not good enough. And I want to tell you, like, and he didn't do it angrily or to hurt me. And what's funny is this. So I walked away from that. And I, of course I started crying. So I ran over to the corner where no one could see me. And I went up to the front desk and I asked the lady to use the phone, because we didn't have cell phones in those days. And I asked the lady if she'd call my mom, it's an emergency. And she did. She handed me the phone and called my mom. I said, Mom, can you please come pick me up? She's like, what are you talking about? You're supposed to stay the night, right? It's a sleepover and all the kids. And I was like, please, Mom, please, 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 please. So she's like, fine, I'm on my way. I didn't even go back inside. I literally, from the front desk, I just went straight out the door. I sat on the curb until my mom pulled up. She pulled up. I jumped in the car with her. And at that point, waterworks, man. I mean, sobbing uncontrollably, like, you know, that kind of crying. She's like, what in the hell is going on? I'm like, please just go, just get out of here, just go. And she's like, Jeremy, I am not moving this car until you tell me what the hell is going on. And so I did. And of course, what any parent, especially a mom, would do is like, you are not going to say that to my son, right? Like, she's like, oh, and she pulls into the parking space. She's going inside. I'm like, please, please, please don't, please don't, please don't. I'm embarrassed enough. You know, I'm embarrassed enough. And she looked at me and I don't know that she knew what she was doing in this moment. I don't know that she knew what was happening, right? She was just being a mom. Or she's just, it just shows her brilliance even more so. But she looked at me. The radio was playing. She turned the radio down. She looked at me and she said, okay, fine. I won't go in there. Tell me what you want to do. The greatest question that I've ever been asked in the history of my life, 13-year-old boy. So what are you going to do? What do you want to do? And it literally, when those words hit my ear, there was a little bit of sense of almost like relief that came over me in a split second. It even happened right now when I'm telling you the story, like literally, like there's a sense of relief when she said, so what do you want to do? And I literally said, this is going to sound crazy. I was like, can we go to Big Five? Those of you guys that aren't like on the West Coast in those days, the big sporting goods store, you probably have these Dicks and things like that today. It was called Big Five. And I said, hey, can we please go to Big Five? And she literally squinted her eyes, looked at me, and she's like, rolled them. She's like, what? Like, you don't want to just go get some ice cream? Like, we can go get a toy at Target, or you know what I mean? Like, what is that thing, right? Like, let's appease the problem, right? Let's just make it okay. Let's give you a treat, right? Is kind of, you know, like the thought. I said, can we please go? And she's like, fine, whatever. So we, not very far, we drive over, we walk in. Just like I can tell you, I can tell you what he was wearing and what I was wearing that day. I can tell you exactly. I can still see this sign vivid in my face. We walk in, we walk over to the baseball section, and there's a yellow sign. It's on sale. Yellow, it's on sale. All the other signs are white. There's a yellow sign that says $19.99. And I said, can I have that? She goes, what is that? It was a batting tee, right? You probably use these with your kids. Those of you guys that have ever played, you know exactly what it is. But it was a tee, baseball batting tee. And she goes, that's what you want? Like, really? This is what's going to appease my 13-year-old son. He's going to stop crying. He's going to be all okay if I get him this stupid batting tee, right? So she did. She bought it, $20. She's like, great, awesome. $20, less than I would have had to spend anywhere else, right? Or do. So I went home that day, and I put that thing up in the backyard. I found whatever balls I had around the house, and I promised myself I was going to hit 100 balls off of that tee every day. Every day I was going to go out there, I was going to hit them. I was going to hit some off of that wall. I was going to hit some off of that wall. I was doing funky things with whatever. I was 100 swings every single day, because nobody was going to tell me, at least not from my work, that I wasn't good enough. And it was in that moment. And what I want people to understand too is this, is that it didn't happen the next year. I was out there every day, rain. In the rain, I would use tennis balls because they could absorb the rain better. So the water would be okay because it wouldn't wreck the baseballs, right? So on rain days, I would be out there and I'd hit balls into there and my mom would get pissed because my shoes would be all wet. And you know what I mean? Like, and every day. But when I was 14, nothing really changed. 15, I mean, I made the high school team, but I barely played. I was a bench warmer. I got more water for the team than I did at bats that year, you know? And as you go, 16, 17, 18. So now I'm a senior in high school 5 years later. And everything started to click. I led the team in hitting. I was the MVP of the team. I was also an all league player. So they got the patch on my Letterman's jacket. I got to go to all the award shows. I made the all Valley all-star team, all the schools from all the area. Right. And I also got a scholarship to go play baseball. The only player on that team, my high school team, to get a scholarship to go play baseball. Matter of fact, out of the 4 years that I was in high school, I was the only player of all 4 years from my freshman, all the people that were older than me and the people who came after me, was the only player to get a Division I scholarship and play for baseball. There was other sports, football. We were really good. We had some track players but I was the only baseball player to get a Division I scholarship. The only one to go on to play professional baseball. And so I say that because I want people to understand, and you hear this all the time. We overestimate what we can do in a year and we underestimate what we can do in the next 5 or 10. Because if I would have just went out there one time and hit balls and expected to be, you know, an all-star and wasn't, then I would have thought it wasn't working. But you see, it was not the point was not what was next or there was a result at the end of this. Even the result I ended up with, I never anticipated. It was my goal. But I started to do things differently because one, the T led to, we had this construction site by our house that they were building houses. And I went over and stole a big piece of plywood off of there and I'd put it on the ground and I'd throw balls up and let it bounce off and I'd hit them, right? Like, cause it would bounce differently. It'd be like a curveball or like a change up and things like that. So through the years, you know, you adjust to things but it was in those moments. It was that 13-year-old boy that was still fighting to do the right things, to be better. And when you start to see some results, again, 4 or 5 years later, it's not right away. It's are you willing to put in the work, right? And one thing I want people to understand too is my own fault of feeling the way that I felt was because I felt like I was going to be given something at that 13-year-old boy, right? Because he was my second dad. So he had to choose me, right? Because of a relationship or because I thought I deserved it. But you want to know something? The truth is, I wasn't good enough. That's the truth. I thought I deserved it because of the wrong reasons. And we see that so much in our world today is that everybody wants something for free or everybody believes that they deserve something. Bullshit. You deserve what you work for. You deserve what you earn. If you haven't earned it, you don't deserve shit. And I didn't deserve it. And here's another thought. You know, there's 10, 12, 15 teams in that league. There's another 120, 130 kids in that league. 15 of them make the all-star team. So even if I was the 16th best kid, then I wasn't good enough. It's pretty good as 16 out of 130 kids. You're pretty damn good. But I don't know where I fit. I don't know if I was 16th or 60th. I truly don't know. But I know this. There were 15 kids better than me. I know that. I know that much. And that's honest. And the moment we can be honest with ourselves is the moment you can change it. The moment you take responsibility for everything in your life is the moment you can have anything in your life. I was now responsible for those results. Not a coach, not my dad, not my second dad, not nobody else. Nobody was responsible for that outcome but me. And the moment I took responsibility for that was the things. And again, the results are what they are. Let's be clear. I still failed because my goal was to be a 20-year major leaguer and go to the Hall of Fame and be, you know, on every billboard and ESPN, you know, but I'm not even close. Didn't even sniff it. I mean, it's a different stratosphere. right? I never made it there, but I maximized my potential. I got to see the world playing baseball. I got to get a degree playing baseball. I got to experience different states and different countries as an athlete, as a baseball player, because of the work that I was putting in day in and day out. Right. And so understanding that what he did, and what's a really cool story is a lot of those kids, because you're young, were my best friends for life, right? Like, we went to high school together. We've stayed in contact all these years. Seven of those 15 kids that made that team later in life, including the coach, bought a ticket to come watch me play baseball. And it's cool because they were my friends, and we hung out afterward. And that day I told him the story. I said, you know, you are a big part of my life, right? I didn't have that father who was going to coach me, who was going to be there and play catch with me. I didn't have any of that shit. None of it. But what's cool is that I told him that story and he was devastated. Like, he was like, no, I did not. You're kidding me. And I was like, no, it's a good thing. I gave him a hug and I said, I love you. Like, thank you. He's like, I can't believe I said that. And I said, well, you would just be the thing you've always done for all of us is be honest with us. And it wasn't saying, you see, he wasn't saying that I could never be good enough. He was just saying, in this moment today, there are 15 kids better than you. And so just what my mom said, there are 15 kids better than you, Jeremy. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to sit here and cry? The milk is spilled. You're going to let it rot and just stink up the whole house? Are you going to clean that shit up and get your shit together? Because that's the difference, right? We baby everything today. Everything is a baby. Everything you say, somebody's offended or whatever. Listen, the milk is spilled. The words can't hurt you. His words couldn't hurt me. They can't. It's my job to do something about it. It's my job to create the outcome that I want. So just like he said, hey, he didn't say you're never going to be good enough. He didn't say you can't do this. He said, Jeremy Michael, today you're not good enough. Today there are 15 kids better than you. And she said, what the fuck are you going to do about it? Look, this is what it's all about. Optimal self is born out of that. Is born out of those opportunities in my life to say, hold on a second. Because our tagline is the art of becoming the best version of you. And I didn't learn that right away. This is all decades and decades later of meeting different people and knowing different things. But let me tell you this. It's not about anybody but me. It's not about me being better than another kid. It's about me being the best version of me. And what does that guy do? How does that guy get up in the morning? What does that guy eat? What does that guy spend his evenings? What does that guy read? What is that guy watching? Because if that's your focus, right? If the focus is, again, I said to myself, I want to fucking be an all-star. I want to be an all-star. I want to be recognized. Okay. What does that guy do? Guess what he's not doing? He's not behind the bleachers, you know, smoking weed and drinking a beer at, you know, a lot of my friends were, let make no mistake, right? It's doing things like, what does that guy do? If that's who you want to be, what does he do? And then it's easy to start to make decisions, even at a young age. There were a lot of nights where some friends were doing some really cool shit, right? Thank God we didn't have Instagram and all that, because it probably would have maybe throw my mind differently. But if I don't see it happening, I don't care, right? Because I don't know it's there. So I just made choices that I just wasn't in those spots, just wasn't in that, because I wanted to get up, right? I remember I had a girlfriend and one of the kid who was like the best player on the team, right? He was like the all football player, baseball, anything this kid did, he was the best kid, right? He was full grown at 12 years old though. Like, you know what I mean? He was 6 foot with a beard at 12. He crushed all of us, right? You guys have all had that person in your life. And even through high school, he was still very, very good. And our girlfriends were best friends. And I remember one night there was a party. Hey, that's house party. So-and-so's parents are, you know what I mean? And there was a league that played. It was a there was a scout that ran this league, and they played on Sunday mornings down in Pasadena, which is away from, you know, it's about an hour and 20 minutes from where I lived. And I was like, oh, I'm going down to play. And you had to be there. If you had to be on that field by 8 o'clock. If you were there at 8:01, they didn't let you play. They said, get in your car and go home. Like they didn't screw around. Like, and that means I had to be on the road by like 6 a.m. to make sure hit traffic, whatever. Well, if I go to there, there's no way I'm going to get, he's like, oh, who cares? No one's cared. No one's going to be there. You know, like, but it meant something to me. And so that day I chose not to go. I said, you guys go have fun, whatever. I'm going to take off. I'm going to go home. Cause I'm going to get up and go play. And it's funny, but like, they were so upset, right? My girlfriend was mad at me because like, I didn't go do, you know what I mean? But it was just a choice. It wasn't even a question to me, Jess. I didn't like go, okay, you guys are upset. Okay. No, cause it wasn't in alignment with what I wanted to do. And I didn't talk like that back then. I look at it today and I think about those decisions. And do you want to know this? I didn't even think twice. I got home and you know what I mean? Set my alarm, made a protein shake. Yeah, you're right. Got some shit ready for the morning. Made sure my baseball stuff was ready. I didn't even think twice. Turned on, you know, TV and went to sleep. Like I didn't even think twice about it because I just knew what I wanted. And I hope people hear that. I hope people understand is that I wasn't better than anybody else. Do you want to know the truth? That kid, he could go out that night and probably wake up and hit 2 home runs tomorrow. Like that's the ability that he had, right? I didn't have that ability. I didn't have that opportunity. For me, I had to be perfect. I had to be on time. I had to be on time at the place. I had to be, you know what I mean? Like, and there's just things that we do that if we recognize what we truly want, the decision-making process is easy. If you're struggling with the decision of what to do, it's because you're not clear on where you want to go. And I hope people understand that. You don't lack motivation. You lack clarity because you'll be motivated as heck when you get super clear on something. I was very clear on where I wanted to go. It's very easy to be motivated. You see me today. I know what the hell I want this to be. I know how many people we want to help. They got a whiteboard over here that has all kinds of shit on it that is. So I can't wait to get out of bed, man. like, let's go. Yeah, man. So sorry. I know I took up a bunch of time, but uh-huh. I hope they get some context around what optimal self is, where it comes from, and a little bit about me.
I love that, man. So much to unpack in there, but I got to ask. So what do you think about participation trophies?
Oh my God. I can tell you this. My kids don't get them. Let's just put it that way. I don't have control of everybody else, but no, man, there's no such thing in life as a participation trophy. Get the hell out of here with that shit. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry if I offend people. I'm sure there's somebody out there that's going to be offended, but I think the science is even out on it now. Like we've been experimenting with that long enough that I think the science is out about how it affects the brain and how it affects who we are and then the expectation. So nah, man, you only get what you earn, bro. That's it.
I love that. I love it, man. And it's crazy how when we look back on our life, it's like, especially when we're kids, you know, these defining moments in our life, just that one sentence. And I was thinking of some as you were talking and your mom coming and saying, what do you want? You know, those moments are what move us forward. And I love just my vision was become a Marine. Yours was become a
sure.
Play professional baseball. Same, a lot of the same stuff here. And I can relate a lot with this, but I'd be curious to know now as you've transitioned from knowing exactly what you want, how do you transition to the next thing? Like, how do you know what you want now? What's that process like?
man, I only do shit now that makes my hair stand up. Like here's what I'll tell you is, what I learned through the process of being an athlete is throughout my life, you'll see a lot of what I call accomplishments, right? So when you read the bio and you go, oh man, he was an all Pac-10 player and went on to play for the Reds and the Diamondbacks. And, you know, he went to the CrossFit Games and not only went there, but won an event, was number one in the world, set the record in that event that year, right? Nobody on the earth that tried to participate could beat me that day, right? You're the best in the world. And I can tell you that none of those things that you see on there were fulfillment. They were accomplishments, but they were not fulfillments, because that when that thing happened, it's like, what's the next thing? Like, let's get a new goal, right? And I've said this to other people, so I think it's relevant in the accomplishment to fulfillment and people understanding what the difference is that when I started a gym, so when I started CrossFit, we were doing it in my buddy's garage, and we were literally watching YouTube videos and then going out in the garage and trying to mimic that, right? And try to learn a little bit and get a little bit better. And as we did, I started to see the elements of it in the methodology. And I was like, wow, done right, this could be incredible just for any human walking earth. Like, and I wanted to prove it. I wanted my, 60-year-old mother to come in there, and I wanted to do it. I wanted my 11-year-old daughter to come in and do it. My 11 and 13-year-old daughters to come in and do it with. And so I built the gym. So I had some money, and I built the gym, and I went over when we built it, I wanted to prove that was possible, right? I wanted people to see it. If we teach it the way that we should and the methodology and the move correctly, if I can help people move better, it will change their life. And so through that process, we did have a very specific class called Final Cut, which was a program for weight loss, right? Where we worked on nutrition, and each and every one, we did an assessment. So when you came in, even if it was you and you were saying, hey, I want to be number one in my class, I'm going into the Marines, which I've had those guys come in, right? I'm going into, and so, and by the way, thank you so much for your service and everything. Like, that's cool, right? Like, I didn't get to do what I do without guys like you. So I appreciate that very much. I want that to go unnoticed. And so we had a lady walk in. I'll tell you this one, I'll try to be brief with it, but she came in, she was about 100 pounds overweight. So we sit down and we're like, hey, do you have any injuries? We go through this. I had this whole assessment with her. But the number one thing I asked is like, what do you want to get out of this? Give me 12 months from now, you and I are sitting here and we're going over this. What do you want to happen? She's like, I want to lose 80 pounds. Okay. That was her goal. I said, okay. Then we went over why, right? Like, I've been a mom, I've got 3 kids, I'm the one who does homework, I'm the one who does soccer, I'm the one who packs lunch. She's like, she's full-time, man. Like, that's a full-time job. Like probably harder than any other job on earth, to be honest. Like, I don't know too many people that we like to think our jobs are hard. Go try to be, the 3 kids and run them around and tell me how tired you are at the end of the day. So I get it. Right. Well, at the end of these assessments, and I do this with everybody, and people listening to this right now could do the same thing. So whatever that goal is, I would have them close their eyes and I would say, okay, we are 12 months ahead right now. You and I are sitting here, right? And I want you to tell me, or better yet, what do you want to go on a date with your husband, right? And I said, so you're getting ready for that date. What is she wearing, right? That 80 pounds is off of her. What is she wearing? What does that dress look like? Is it a dress or is it jeans? What are you wearing? What necklace does she have? What earrings? Is your hair up or is it down? What perfume do you have on? I mean, I want them to so engulf themselves and see that person. Because here's what I know, Jess, is that if you can see that, if you can envision it, then there's a very likelihood that I can build a plan and you'll follow it, right? Because if you can't see it, you're never going to make it. So I said, okay, open your eyes. I was like, okay, so what were you wearing? And she's like, I don't know, maybe... And so she didn't have an answer. And I said, can you see her? Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But she was like totally nonchalant. And when people did that, cause it happens, about 8 out of 10 would not be, 8 out of 10 people would be crying, bawling. Right. And I would be crying with them. Because when you see it like that, you're moved by it. You're completely moved by it. And I told her, I said, hey, listen, I don't think this program's for you. She's like, what? I said, listen, I don't want to take your money. I don't need, It's not about the money for me. Like, I could put you in the class, but I know you're not going to follow through because it doesn't mean shit to you. And all of a sudden she started to get angry. And I was like, okay, you're angry. She's like, you're not going to take my fucking credit card. Like, I can afford it. And who cares if I show up or not? I said, I do. Because if I can't help you, there's no reason, then I don't earn your money. If I can't help you, then I can't earn your money. And I don't want it, if that's the case. And so she's like, I cannot believe this. And I said, tell me, is there something in your life that you've ever wanted? Like just really wanted? Like, is there something physical, mental, like whatever? Is there something out there? And she goes, yeah, you know what? I came in here yesterday and I wanted to sign up and you weren't here. So they wouldn't let me sign up because they said I had to do this stupid thing and this assessment, right? But I saw girls out there and they were doing pull-ups. And I said, yeah, okay. I could never do a pull-up. I was always the chubby girl. Ever since I was in the sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, in gym class, I could never do a damn pull-up. And I could see this fire starting to burn, right? And I'm like, tell me more. She's like, I'm tired of being the chubby girl. I'm tired of not. I said, you want to do a pull-up? She's like, yes, I want to do a fucking pull-up. I said, now you're talking. Now you're talking. I said, your goal is no longer 80 pounds. I don't give a fuck what I could care less what the scale says. Your single goal is in this next year. Is it we do a pull-up? Is that something you can get behind? She's like, yes. Tell me. Now, let's be clear. I already know inside she's going to have to lose weight, but she's going to have to be consistent in here if she ever wants that to happen. So I'm going to need her here 3, maybe 4 days a week, maybe 5. I don't know, depending on how this goes. Right. But for sure, that opening bell, we're going to start this thing. You got to be here 3 days a week. You pick the three. We're open 7 days. You pick the 3 days. Right. And so she goes out there. We painted this wall with chalk paint and it was a goal wall. Everybody who ever walked in that gym had to write a goal on that wall. Okay. So she writes, she goes up, she literally wrote, do an F'n pull up. And she signed it, right? That's on the wall. And so here we go, right? She did have some shoulder issues. So we worked on a whole program to get her shoulders articulating correctly. I had an area that we built that had bands and we built a whole program so she could start working on mobility, get everything ready. Right. And so she would do that every day before she came in to start the class. We didn't work on pull-ups at all yet. Right. We just worked on getting your scapulas moving in the right direction so that you could reach with full extension. You could hold on to that bar without falling in 2 seconds, right? Like things like that. So we built this whole program. She's in it. And she's convicted, man, every day. Cause every day I'd ask her and say, hey, you're one day closer to a pull-up. You got here again. You're one day closer, right? Cause it's keeping her motivated to what the goal was. And the weight starts falling off. And now she's down 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 40 pounds. So she comes in about around the 6.5, 7 month mark, right? She comes walking in. It's a 6 p.m. class I'm teaching. There's a 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock class that night. And she's got this different look to her, man. She's like got a little skip to her and she's looking at me. She's got a smile and you see how I am, man. I'm smiling all the time. Like and I'm looking at her and she's like, Jeremy, today's the day. And I'm like, looking at my watch. I'm like, what is today? Like every day is like national something, right? It's like National Cheesecake Day, National Baked Potato Day. What are we talking about here? Right. And she's like, no, today's pull up day. And I'm like, really? I know what the board is because I wrote the workout. So I know she's going to be smashed at the end of this workout. Like everybody is, right? You're going to be spent. It's a good one. Some good strength, all that. And so I'm like, man, she's going to be super fatigued by the end of this thing. So I'm like, I'll tell you what, go get your shoulder stuff done, but I want you to do a little bit extra. I want you to be sweating when you come over here. And then once you're loose and ready, I'm going to get the class ready. They're going to go through their warm up. And then before we start class, we'll make that attempt for you. Right. She's down at this point, I think maybe 60 plus pounds. Right. And so I'm over getting the class ready and they're like, hey, what is she doing? And I'm telling them, I'm like, she wants, her goal on the board is to do a pull up. She thinks she's ready, blah, blah, blah. And so sure enough, class or warm up ends. She's got a little sweat to her. She comes over, she's all geared up. Somebody, I don't even know who this was, turns off the radio, turns off the music because there's music playing. Right. They turn it all the way down off. It's dead silent in there. Everybody's starting to slowly gather around the rig. And I'm like, all right, show's yours, man. The floor's yours. And she like takes a couple good breaths, right? We teach belly breathing and how to regulate. And she jumps up there, dude, and grabs onto that thing. She starts pulling, and it's right out of the gate. It's tough, man. She's like struggling. She gets about just past halfway, and it literally looks like she shot out of a cannon. Whoosh, up over, man. Her chin is over. She gets this whole like, oh shit, look on her face. Like, that just happened, right? Eyes big. She drops down. People are high-fiving and cheering, screaming. She comes running over, jumps on me, hug, bear hug, like legs around me, arms around me. She's like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, holy shit. She drops down and we catch eyes and she's crying. I start crying, right? People in the class are crying. Like, it's just mayhem, right? She's like, hold on, hold on, hold on. She runs back over. I got more. She jumps up and does like 3 or 4 more pull-ups, right? Singles, just jumps up. And everybody's just bonkers, man, hugging and high-fiving. And it's just awesome. Okay. So we do the class, everybody leaves, everybody's still on a high. The next class comes in and they're talking about it, right? And the next class goes. And so the night ends. And I, you know, we're doing the cleanup. Everybody goes, I lock all the doors, and then I got to go do the business, right? So I go reconcile all the numbers. Did we sell any shirts? What happened? Did we get any members today, right? You're doing the business stuff. It usually takes me about an hour and a half at night to close all that down and go over all the numbers. And I recognize as I'm sitting there that like, I am still like beaming. Like I am on fire, man. My soul is just burning. Great. You know? And I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Like what? So I'm a journaler. You guys, I mean, if you're not on video, but I got journals for everything. I got different names for them. I got different thought processes and all kinds of stuff. So pull out a journal and I start writing. I stop what I'm doing on the business. I start writing and it's just pouring out of me about how fulfilled I was in that moment. And I want to give this caveat to this whole story is that same day on that same board, my goal was a 500-pound deadlift. I weighed 181 pounds. I wanted to deadlift 500 pounds. Okay. Like it's world class, 2.5 times your body weight, considered like elite levels, all this kind of stuff. That same day, that same afternoon, I trained in the afternoon. I'd work real estate all morning. I'd go train in the afternoon and then I'd usually teach at night. And I would, that same day with my group of guys, you know, bro sesh, I pulled 500 pounds. First person in the gym to do it, right? A lot of guys bigger than me, stronger than me, but first person to actually do it. And in that moment, we were high-fiving, chest bumping, right? Boom, bro sesh, it was awesome, you know? And as soon as that weight hit the ground and we high-fived, I walked over to that board and I crossed out 500 and I wrote 550, right? The accomplishment was over. It's time for the next thing. What's the next goal, right? And with this, it was still beaming. Me telling you this story right now, I feel exactly the same as I did that day back in 2012 or whatever it was. Like it's that, you know what I'm saying? Like I still get that feeling. If I run into her at a grocery store or something, it's the same thing. Oh my God. By the way, she's down like 150 pounds today. She runs marathons. She actually teaches, an interval training course now, classes with people. She's giving back in her way. So what we talked about in the beginning of this, and the reason I tell that story is because there's a difference between accomplishment and fulfillment. You see, the accomplishment is the things that you see on the resume. Fulfillment comes of what got me there and being able to turn around and give it back. And I refuse. Optimal self is born because I'm going to refuse to go to my grave with the knowledge and expertise and the things it was given to me that it dies here. It's my duty to turn around and give that back to people in whatever platform. Today, we're very fortunate in that we have these digital platforms that I hope that the things that I've learned and the things that I've accomplished, I can now turn and give those things back because that's where the fulfillment comes. And so today, as I always had those goals and I always had those dreams of playing baseball, of getting to the CrossFit Games when that became a thing for me, building a business that is sustainable and profitable in any market. We thrived during the pandemic. I feel bad for people who didn't, but our business, you know, real estate, we actually had the best year of our lives, best year in the history of our country, but we pivoted very quickly. We focused on what we needed to focus on. And so, but all of those things were learned through all of those other avenues. So today I get out of bed and my mission is to help and inspire people to change behavior through belief and action so they can be the best version of themselves. Not me, not my version. So this isn't my version, not your parents' version, not your friend's version, not Instagram's version. Like, to truly start to understand what is the best version of me and how do I live that way? And that is the fulfillment side of things. Accomplishment never gets you there. And you hear it all the time, but people don't talk about it this way. It's not the car. It's not the money, right? You're going to make $1 billion. And, you know, I remember Tony Robbins saying at UPW like 10 years ago, how, you know, when he started coaching billionaires, he never met more miserable people in his life, right? Because you think they had everything. They had jets and yachts and boats and they could be anywhere. And they had all that, but they were miserable, right? Because again, accomplishment is not fulfillment. So what is that thing that fulfills you? And almost to a person, it's when you can give back to others, when you can help somebody else achieve their goals. It's the most amazing thing ever. And that was one of those, again, paradigm shifting moments in my life that allowed for me to get to where I am now, because I'm like, oh man, let's do more of this. So you ask me, how do you make the transition? You find the things that fulfill you. You find those moments that you're like, this is great. I do this with my agents all the time. There's a million ways to skin the cat in this game, right? There's thousands of different sales techniques that you can use. There's 100,000 coaches today that will tell you, you know, their version, right? But the truth is I ask them, what do you love about this? Why are you showing up today? Why did you choose this? What is it that you do like to do? Oh, I don't like to, you know, door knock. Okay, great. Don't fucking door knock anymore. But you got to do something. Find that thing that you love to do. And then let's do that every day. A little bit of that every day. Cause it's not perfect. I got to do shit that I don't like to do for sure. but it's a method to the madness, right? It's a method to the madness. So again, when you find it, when you know what that, even if you don't like to do it, like people think like, yes, but every day I don't like to go to the gym. I mean, I enjoy workouts. I enjoy being in shape. I enjoy feeling strong, all those things. But there are days where I just want to lay there, man. Like, it's cold and now I've got this comforter is warm as shit. The pillow feels good. And I don't want to get up, bro. I don't. But I think, who's the best version of me? What do I have today? Oh, wait, I got to be on a podcast with Jesse Simpson on the Action Hour. He deserves a fucking 100% of me. So guess what? This morning, I spun my ass out of bed and I couldn't wait to get down to the gym. I couldn't wait to sweat because I knew by the time you and I were going to meet, I was already going to read, write. I was already going to set my intention for the day and I already had my movement and my hydration in before I ever see any. And that goes every day before I see people, because you deserve the best of me. You deserve the best version of me. So what does that guy do? How does that guy get his ass out of bed? That's the transition, right? That's the transition.
I love that, man. I love that idea of being guided by that future best version of you.
Yeah.
You were talking about this story, man. I was getting goosebumps too. I'm so happy she got her pull-ups in. But I want to just bounce back to that real quick, because something jumped out at me about the idea that she wanted to lose weight. She had this sort of almost like a superficial level goal, yeah. But then you got it down to something deeper. Was that natural for you that you kind of got to what was deeper? Do you have a process to get to what's like real and deep in people when you're trying to uncover what they need to, where they want to go or the goals they have?
It is that visualization is the best word I can use at this point. And what I mean by that is, if we have that goal, right? I want to make $1 million. I want to lose 80 pounds. I want to, you know, start my own business, whatever that thing is. So I said to you behind changing behavior through belief and action, right? That's something. And so Yes. What I mean by that is that visualization, that belief, right? So what she was saying to me was, I want to lose 80 pounds. Right. And come on, when a person's 100 pounds overweight, you don't have to be a superstar nutritionalist. You can see that that person is not making good choices. Right. But in order for you to change your choices, it has to be bigger than that. Because some people, don't get me wrong, some people it is that. Some people do, they want to see that number on a scale, and that moves the shit out of them. Everybody's just different, right? It's not that losing weight couldn't be the goal. That it can be, but it can't be the metric that we challenge, right? It can't be the reason, because the reason, again, it's called Goodhart's law, right? Is where when the metric becomes the goal is when it becomes a problem. What I mean by that is that it then becomes getting down that weight, and you can do that very unhealthy as well, right? So you might lose weight, but you're doing it very unhealthy, right? We need to do it in a way that's going to be sustainable over time, right? Same thing with the reason why the education system is so jacked up for us is because we don't go there to learn. We go there to get a good grade. Like, I'm more concerned about getting an A so my mom doesn't get pissed off, or I'm more concerned about passing the class than I am to actually learn the actual words and what they're really teaching me, right? That's the problem with it, is that we're teaching our kids to get a good grade. We're not teaching them to learn, when success is about learning. In order for you to be a better version of you, you've got to learn something new. You've got to understand that. So to answer your question succinctly, or the best that I can, is that there's two sides of belief when we look at that. And what you said is that superficial goal, because when you put that goal out there, there's the most people, I ask them, do you believe that that's possible? Right? So again, do you believe that 80 pounds is possible? And a lot of times the answer is yeah. Okay. Do you believe that the path that we can set, that my expertise and what we're doing in nutrition and this plan, blah, 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 works? Yes. Okay. So now we're going to flip the coin of belief to the other side. And I'm going to ask you this. Do you believe that you are worthy of that goal? Do you believe that you are capable of achieving that goal? And do you believe that you are deserving? So are you worthy, capable, and deserving of that goal? That's where most people miss. We stop at, do you believe it's possible? Yeah, hell yeah. 80 pounds. Yep. I believe it's possible. I believe that this nutrition plan that Jeremy's giving me, and that the gym and the workouts are all designed to do that. Yep. 100%. Like, hell yeah. But what we fail to ask the question to ourselves a lot of times is, do we believe that we're worthy of that goal? You see, she couldn't picture herself. She couldn't see that 80 pounds off of her. She couldn't, because she didn't believe that she was capable or worthy of it. And many times it's the same thing for us, right? Is that we just don't believe, and it could be from anything. It could believe from our childhood. It could believe that, you know, that we're not good enough, that we're not deserving of that. Oh, I don't come from what you came from. Or, you know, we see somebody that has something, we believe, they have it easier than we do. Not really. I mean, yeah, sometimes a little bit here and there, but listen, if you're willing to learn, if you're willing to sacrifice, if you're willing to put in the hard work and have a little bit of patience around it, then anything's, it's inevitable, right? So the caveat, right, to what you asked was, you know, how do we get to the deeper goal? Sometimes it's not even a deeper goal. It's just understanding if you believe you're worthy of it and capable. Yeah, hell yeah. She's like, hell yeah. She was convicted. I'm deserving. Why shouldn't I? Why not me? Why can't I pull my ass up over that bar? If there's other girls out there doing it, they can do it. Right? I used to tell the story to people like that all the time. I say, listen, do you know the story about Roger Bannister running the 4-minute mile? Like, do you know that there were scientists saying that the human body, that they would look at the cheetahs and they would look at all these fast animals and they'd be like, nope, their knee and their hip, their flexion of their foot, the human body doesn't articulate that way. And so it's impossible, the size of our femur to the ground and the amount of power that we can force off the ground, it's not possible for the human to break the 4-minute mile. That's what they said. It's out there. Google that shit. It's crazy. And then the moment somebody did it, within like 8 months, 14 other people or some shit had did it. Now they're running 3 minutes. Like, it's bonkers, right? But sometimes we just, so again, I tell people that story because I'm like, are you asking something that's never been done, that there's no human in the history of time that's ever done it? No, there's somebody out there just like you doing it. Well, then they proved it's possible. So it's absolutely possible. Now you have to believe, are you capable and worthy and deserving? And we can work through that, because you want to know how to get after that. What did I say? Believe that we're going to change behavior through belief and action. So again, when we factor in the belief factor, right? That I got to change behavior. I got to do something different. And how do I do that? I got to take a different action. So again, if I can get you doing something different, right, than you've ever done, then we're going to change, then that behavior is going to change. And now if that thing you're doing, that action you're taking is in alignment with that goal, right? Which is, so the action she took was coming in every day and working on that pull, working on getting her scapula, working on getting rid of some of that shoulder pain, working on some of that strength, holding from the bar. So her grip strength got better, right? She knew the plan, and they were all things that she could do. And she could see other girls doing it. There's proven. Now it's just a matter of saying, am I worthy of that? Am I worthy of that goal? So sometimes we just got to switch it to say, hell yeah, I'm worthy of that. If she can do it, why not me? Because most of the time, the things that we ask for, the things that we want, somebody has already proven it's done. Now it's just us about of understanding our belief and then taking action on it so that our behavior changes. And now our habits change, because everything in your life today is a factor of your habits right this second. No question.
Absolutely, man. That was fire. All right, cool. So let's go with those habits. What about the optimal self habits? What does that look like for you?
Beautiful. This just came up this weekend, so I want to share it because I wrote it in my journal because it goes along with what you just asked in habits. So how do we create habits, right? So there's an old samurai warrior named Miyamoto Musashi. He wrote the Book of Five Rings. And in there, he said, if you know the way broadly, you will see it in everything. Stay with me for a second, because this is how we get to the habits. Is that means what he's saying is this: excellence in anything increases your potential in everything. So when we go back, and I'll use her again, because that's who we're talking about. The moment she became diligent, consistent, excellent to knowing, I didn't have to show her. I showed her 3 or 4 times. The rest of the time she could come in and do that on her own, move correctly, make sure she was in the right. So she created excellence. She created that habit. That habit compounded over time led her to the result. So in optimal self, what we're going to do, what we want to do, is help people create habits you need to get what you want. They're not all the same. You understand? Her goal was different. So we have to get to the habit that needs to lead us to her goal. What is your goal? We need to create the habits around that. What is the one thing that I can do? Right? And it's pretty crazy. So, and I want people to understand that. I hope people write this down. Excellence in anything increases your potential in everything. Because if you can do it here, you can do it anywhere, right? How we do anything is how we do everything. So if you're struggling somewhere and you're probably struggling in other areas, you just don't realize it. And so we've got to be able to get to the core and the reason and the why. And a lot of times it's very simple, Jack. It's very, very simple. For us, our number one principle is hydration, because your brain is 90% water. Your muscles are over 80% water. Your bones, people don't even know this, we're 70% water, even as stiff and hard as they are, right? And so if we don't get the control center, which is our mind, which is our brain, if we don't hydrate that, if that thing is not running and firing, right? You ever drop some water on electrodes, right? It's like, right? You're going to throw it, right? It's the same thing with our brain. That's how it functions. So as the water dissipates, right? As you are drinking your Diet Coke, or, you know, your lemonade or whatever it is that you're actually seeping that water out. You're never going to run optimally. Your body is not going to run optimally. So what we want to be able to do is create excellence in something so that your potential increases in everything, right? And so that's where we start. And I don't know if you guys watch this, and I know this will live forever, so I'm just going to, but this past weekend, and I hate to timestamp, I want these to be evergreen, but Kobe Bryant was inducted into the Hall of Fame, right? And even if you're not a sports fan, don't tune out real quick, because this affects us as humans, is something that I think was really, really evident. This listening to Michael Jordan introduce him, listening to Vanessa, his wife, talk about what he, and the funny thing is they never talk about talent. They never talked about how tall he was. They talk about his work ethic, right? Talent is like secondary to what he did. And so I want people to understand this is this, what Kobe mastered was not basketball. He missed more shots than he made in his career. You do not master basketball. You don't. You're going to miss more times than you're going to make most players, right? If you mastered it, you'd never miss. You'd never, ever miss if you were the master of the domain, right? And guess what else? Imagine this. The game got faster and faster. Guys get bigger and faster and stronger every year, right? So 20 years of it, he always has to be getting better. He has to learn something new, learn a new move, learn to go with his back to the basket, learn to maybe shoot the three-pointer, whatever, right? He's always in a constant. But what he mastered was the art of showing up. What he mastered is getting his ass out of bed and going to do the work. Because as many games as they won, as five championships and the MVPs and the scoring time, like when the lights were on and Staples Center was packed, only possible because of what he did when nobody was watching. And so it was wonderful to see Vanessa talk about that and people talk about him, because what I say before, excellence in anything increases your potential in everything, right? Just like the great samurai Mimoto Musashi said, if you know the way broadly, you will see it in everything. What he knew was the way broadly. He knew what that work looked like. So guess what? When he retired, he wrote, directed, and narrated an animated film that won an Oscar, the highest level. That's like winning the championship in a different thing, in a different, he wasn't a writer. He wasn't a narrator. He didn't do that for a living. He didn't know anything about that stuff. But you know what he mastered? You ask the people that worked with him on that, his team, right? You ask his basketball team, they're going to tell you. He was here before us. He stayed later than us. He took more shots than us. He worked our asses off. He ran harder than us. He was better conditioned than us. All of those things. The same thing happened there. They're like, yeah, we'd show up. He was already there for hours. He had shit on the whiteboard that he was going to share with us. Like it was exactly the same thing, because he knew the way broadly. So he could see it in everything. He knew how to get there. He just showed up and he did it. And he worked, right? He built that. His daughter wanted to play basketball, and there were no girls' basketball leagues at her age that were worth a shit. And so what did he do? He got up early and he learned how to create a league and how to create and give other girls those opportunities. And now that they had, at the time, had built the biggest, most productive league with the greatest, you know, 8, 10, 12, 15-year-old girls on the planet, the people were traveling from miles to come be part of this, because he knew the way broadly, and he could see it in everything. He mastered the art of the work, the art of showing up. Never mastered basketball. Never. Nobody ever will. because it's going to ever change. It's going to ever get faster. It's going to ever get better. What my point of that is this: his habits were duplicatable in other areas of his life. So when you create excellence in anything, if I can get you to get up every morning and drink 16 to 32 ounces of water with a little bit of Himalayan sea salt and some lemon, right? And that's all in Optimal Self. It's called our hydration cocktail. If I can have you drink that first, and you can string those days together, we can put some streaks together, and you could recreate, anyone on earth can create excellence in that. I'm not asking you to deadlift 500 pounds. Most people will never, ever, ever, ever get even remotely close to that. Oh, maybe their body isn't even meant to do that and they have no desire, right? But you want to run optimally. You want to be your optimal self. You want to be the best version of you. You have that opportunity. You want to know how you have that opportunity? By starting to create excellence in anything, which is, let's start with some hydration. Let's just get you going there. Let's breathe better. Let's move better. Because those things, you don't believe it, but there's people right now in our beta test that are literally talking about how their marriage has gotten better. And now they drink water together and they go for a walk every morning, and their marriage has never been better because they got consistent on one single action. Because excellence in anything gives you the potential, right? The potential to have everything. Those are the habits, man.
Hell yeah. Excellence in anything increases your potential in everything. That's powerful. That's right, man. I love it. Awesome. Well, Jeremy, thanks so much for all this value, dude. You're dropping bombs here. I love it. Where can people learn more about you or connect with you outside of the show?
Go to optimalself.today. That's our website. On that website, we have all of the links to the podcasts, to the courses, to anything like that. We have some free courses on there now. And then it also has all the social media. My personal one is Base Brawl, Optimal Self. Like we're on that. They can jump into our private Facebook group, and get, you know, I'm in there all the time. We're jumping around, we're talking, and what's cooler than anything, man, is the people who are there the ones giving back. When they find something new, when they find something that might help, they're sharing it with one another. And that's the true ideal, right? It's the best version of you, not the best version of me. I don't have a life in a box that I'm going to give you. It's none of that shit. I want you to be the best version of you, whatever that looks like. Every single human you all have a unique print. That fingerprint is yours. Nobody else has it. But that's also about what's inside. You're a unique blueprint. Everybody has a unique song inside of them, right? We want to create this platform and create this opportunity so that nobody goes to their grave with that song inside them. I want to hear it. The world needs to hear it. You deserve it. Let's sing it, man. Let's sing it together.
Amazing. So good, Jeremy. Thanks so much for coming to Action Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you, man.